This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hart knocks it away, throws it ahead. Good pass, and an Obi for the flush. Josh Hart's defense turns into offense.
Oh, that is Knicks TV with the call as the Dallas Mavericks lose to the New York Knicks 128-113. Good morning, everyone. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton and Aiden. They're alongside. It is Sean and RJ on a Wednesday, your hump day edition.
Hump day.
Sean's back next week. Another week of paternity leave for him.
And then when he's back, he'll be back for good.
For good.
Won't be gone a single time after that.
No, I don't think there's two more of these. I don't think so. Did you get pummeled with hail?
So, I was exceedingly tired yesterday. I didn't tell you this at the time, but I slept before we went to the Rangers game. You remember I told you that?
The day before.
Yep. I'd slept before we went to the Rangers game, so I'd slept from like noon to four. And we got up, went to the game, and so I rolled, because I had woken up late, I was like, all right, I still got to do my prep and things like that. So I took one of the Adderall. I did not fall asleep the night before. So I went from the Rangers game. I was up all night into the show yesterday. And then I had to go do other stuff all throughout the day. So I did not sleep from like 5 o'clock Monday until like 8 o'clock yesterday. So I was over 24 hours. And so I passed out
at 8 o'clock.
I guess it was a little later than 8 because I did watch some of the Mavs. And then I passed out. So like when I laid down, the storms were starting to roll through, and then I passed out. So I have no idea how bad the storms got last night.
Peyton? Pummeled.
Pummeled. Hail or just rain?
Oh, lots of hail and rain.
Whoa.
I think rain came first and hail. You could hear it hit the top of the chimney, outside furniture. And so I was like, man, how long is this going to go for? I was looking in the front yard, backyard. I did not leave the house, though. I know some people go outside and, let me see the hail. And I don't trust the hail. Comes in a little fast.
Does anybody say, I want to see the hail? I think it's usually they want to see a tornado or something. But not,
outside to
observe hail. I don't think I've ever known anybody
to do that. If you have we had some videos sent to us of our friends in Plano whose pool was getting pummeled. And it was like, you see the splashing in
boom,
the pool,
boom,
right?
Boom, yeah. Boom,
but this
boom.
Was pea-sized hail, little bigger than pea-sized. So not big, but it lasted for a good 30 to 40 minutes.
Did it really?
Yeah, it was a lot. We had to move McKenzie's car in the garage.
Well, was yours already in there?
Yeah, mine's already in there.
You've just
luxury car, yeah.
Luxury car. It's paid for now.
That's right.
It's paid for.
It's a free car.
Yeah. Is hers paid for?
Yes. Yeah. Hers is over 10 years old.
Yeah. We were at once a month on a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Marty B's does a little concert. And we were there for Josh Abbott last night. It's like they do like an hour set. And then you're in and out. It's like the best thing in the world because it's like you're not taking your whole night. And it happened to be right at the time that all the storms were coming in. And you could just hear it pummeling the tin roof. Pummeling. And we didn't know if it was hail or rain. Couldn't tell. Got outside. Didn't notice any damage on the vehicle.
What time was this? Because Marty B's is not far from where I live.
No. We ate. So it was like from between dinner and the little show, it was like 7 to 9.
Okay. See, then I must have passed out probably close
right
to
before,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was near the end. It was near the end. But I mean, that's time of the year. Said to Dan Brunoff yesterday, he said, get ready for it.
I asked you, we were in there. Remember, I said, aren't we getting hail tonight? And he said, yeah, we probably are. So Dan Brunoff knew. Good morning to everybody over on the YouTube, including Scramjet Works, who says, my boy is popping pills and complaining about the outcome. F around and find out, Bobby. I was not complaining about the outcome. I was explaining why I passed out so quickly. And I'm not just popping pills. I'm supposed to take them. I just took it.
You're supposed to take it in a more controlled environment.
I'm not supposed to take it at 6 o'clock at night is what I'm not supposed to do.
It's supposed to be a more controlled environment.
It's supposed to be like now, like is what I'm supposed to take it. So I have 18 hours to wind down or whatever it would be, to 16 hours, whatever the
case. Take it now and have a regular day.
No,
have
I know.
A regular day?
I know. Now I'm back on my schedule. I just sleep it in the middle of the day. This is why I don't do it, Sean. Sleep it in the middle of the day.
I don't sleep in the middle of the day.
Is why it screwed me up. See, I am with you on it. Usually it screws me up.
Yeah.
If I sleep in the middle of the day, it messes up everything else. And that's what happened. Because then Kristen was like, well, let's go to the Rangers game. I got somebody to cancel on me. I need somebody to go with me. It's like, all right, I'll go. I mean, I like going to the Rangers game, but I was not anticipating having to carve this out into the night.
See,
so.
This is why I don't do speed.
This is not speed. It's Adderall. It is prescribed,
speed.
RJ Choppy.
It's speed. What do you think it is? It's speed.
No, because you had said when you take it, you fall asleep.
Yeah, because I crash. I crash hard on it.
Yeah.
I crash hard on it. But I'm like, you know, for the time that it happens, you know.
You know what the difference is. Mine is prescribed, Chop.
Yeah. My problem is I'm scared I'm going to really like it. I'm scared I'm going to really like it.
Sure. Know your limitations.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, Chuck.
That's why I don't do a lot of things. I'm scared I'm going
to
like them.
By the way, we're about to play some Rick Welts audio as the Mavericks continue to shoot themselves in the foot.
Oh, yeah. We got tremendous audio today. Don't forget. And man, the Giants are the gift that keeps on giving. We'll get into that at 6:20. It's such a beautiful sight.
There's a lot going on today. But one of the things, you know, we'll hear in a sec. Mavericks fans have been very unhappy. And the Mavs have done a really poor job of listening to that and responding to that and showing an awareness for that. Not here, Chop. Here, we listen to people and we take their feedback seriously and we try to implement it. And that's why yesterday I sent out the Sean and RJ 2025 Year Appreciated Survey, Chop.
Yeah.
So we got that going. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's just people all over it just loving Peyton, who I came to find out one of them is his family member. So that makes sense.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, but he didn't tell us that till this morning. He just let us think all last night he was getting
loved. They don't tell me they're doing it. I have no idea who's doing it.
Yeah, but you saw the name. You could have told me last night who that was.
No, I didn't see that text last night.
Anyway, if you want to participate in the survey and give us your thoughts on different things related to the show, just text us, say, hey, I want to take it, and I'll send you the link through the text line. So you can take part in the survey as we look to make the show a little
I'm excited
better.
About that. Excited about seeing all the results minus, you know, the Askew Peyton Russell family members.
Exactly. I'm going to pull every single one that said they love Peyton.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, Peyton, do you recognize
this name
that they put down? Yeah.
Do
and
it.
Then let them do it. Yeah, I will. Don't worry about it. So, last night, Mavericks lose to the Knicks. Thank God.
We're back on track
for Team Tank. But, boy, they still managed to shoot themselves in the foot. Rick Welts, the Mavericks' new CEO, who they brought on in December, who had previously worked with the Warriors, the Sonics, the league office.
By the way, pulled ahead of Phoenix and Sacramento. We're out.
Well, because how did we pull ahead?
In the Tankathon.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah, sorry. I'm thinking about right. Actual
so we're
results.
Sole. We're sole possession. Good. That's of 12. We were tied before.
Exactly where we
now
need to be.
Now with a 7% chance at a top four pick. Yeah, right. Baby.
That's exactly where we need to be. But last night, Rick Welts, the Mavericks' new CEO, stopped by the Mavericks broadcast, which is an awful idea.
Yeah.
Anytime they open their mouths, it's a bad idea. Now, I think they think Rick Welts is, that's a 40, 50-year NBA veteran. That's somebody whose entire job is to be the CEO type. If anybody's going to handle it the right way and understand the optics of it, it's going to be him. And he'll be able to, that's a, the safest person we can put out front. And I understand that thought in theory, that he'd be better and a cleaner face for this and a cleaner quote for this than Nico Harrison or Patrick Dumont would.
Right.
But you got 11 games left in the season. Just shut up. Don't talk.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear you for the last 11 games of the season. I don't need to hear from any of them. You've already screwed up. Shut up. Run out the clock. But no, that's not what the Mavericks did last night.
I'm listening every day to how fans are feeling about everything, not just the trade, okay? And I think, you know, when they get to know this ownership group, when they get to know, you know, what they're all about, I really do think you're going to see all the ingredients for success here and the commitment to reach that success. You're going to get to know me as a glass half full guy. I think what this really proved to me was the emotional connection between our fans and this team. It's extraordinary, unlike anything I've seen in my 47 years. And there is a lot of emotion about it. It's a trade. The wonderful thing about our business is these things have a scorecard, right? Time, wins and losses will tell whether the deal was a good deal or a bad deal. I just am going to promise to our fans right now, whatever trust we have lost or whatever concerns they have, we're going to earn it back because we're going to do this the right way. We're going to win championships.
What?
So
there's like five things in there where it's like, yeah. Shut up. Stop digging a hole. When you get to the bottom of the hole, stop digging. Don't keep going. Yeah,
I know. I'm more on Rick's side. I just keep digging. When I get there, I just keep digging.
I think you would have an awareness to just stop at this point.
Oh, I have awareness to stop, but I'm like, nope, I'm committed. Pot Defiance. Committed, baby. Pot committed. But here's the thing. You know, he is. Here's what I think the Mavs are missing. I think we all are. The fans are they're tired of this conversation. They don't want to talk about the trade. They don't want to talk. They just want to move on. They just want to move on, and the problem is that the Mavericks aren't allowing them to move on because they keep coming out with interviews from Mark Cuban and Rick Welts and Patrick Dumont. The only one we haven't heard from is Nico.
In
a month and a half.
I get why Cuban talked. Cuban had nothing to do. Cuban right. did not approve of it. Cuban wants to be heard.
Yeah, he does. I get it.
And I understand that. If I had nothing to do with it, I would be like, hey, guys, just so you know, I thought this was stupid. I've been cut out. I had nothing to do with it. But this is it.
But the fans genuinely, I think, are just tired of the subject. And the problem is the Mavs keep bringing it up.
So here's the thing. It's interesting. When we talk about the... there you go. It's interesting. When we talk about how, you know, I'm sending out this survey link right now to people on the text line who asked for it. That survey yesterday, I had shown you guys some of the initial results from it. And some of the answers people gave there when it's like, one of the things we ask is like, what sports and teams do you want to hear coverage of? Like, what do you want to, how much do you want us to focus on certain teams? And then it's like, what do you not want to hear? Like, do you not want to hear about the WNBA? Do you not want to hear about this or that? And
why did you default to that?
Because that was a common answer we were getting yesterday. but one of the answers we got, the most frequent answer we got right now for, you know, who do you want to hear about? When you look at that, it's like, okay, Cowboys, Rangers. This is the first time I can ever remember we've done this survey where the Stars were more frequently requested for coverage than the Mavs. And there were people in the who do you not want to hear about? The Mavericks were replies where we got one. I think the most recent reply we got said, I don't want to hear about Mavericks unless you guys are pointing out more misery from them. Like, people want them punished for this. They want to know that it hurts. It's not just a case of, you know, I can't look at it anymore. It's like, no, I the only thing I want to hear about is how bad it hurts for them. Because it hurt for me that they traded away the entire future.
Yep.
And then they still sit up there. Rick Welts sits up there and says, we're going to show it in the form of championships. Multiple championships.
Multiple.
Shut up.
Lots of people want the survey. A lot of people in the fan text, Franklin.
I know, I've replied to a bunch of them. But shut up. Not you. Not you. Not the texters, not Chop, not anybody on the YouTube or the Twitch. I want Rick Welts. I want Nico Harrison. I want
Nico
Patrick Dumont.
Nico's gone. We don't even know where he is.
Yeah, he's in the tunnel somewhere.
He's in the tunnel.
He's hiding out in the tunnel.
He's in his office at the back.
Nico, Dumont, Rick Welts, Jason Kidd. You know, go down the list. PJ Washington, Spencer Dinwiddie. Shut up for the rest of the year. I don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. Run out the last 11 games. Hope people forget about it a little bit over the summer, or at least let it scab over a little bit. This is a fresh wound that you guys just keep digging in or reminding people it's there. Shut up.
From the 817, we don't want to hear from Money Puck.
That's not true. Everybody wants Money Puck.
There you go.
Everybody wants Money Puck.
Sean and RJ here, 105 through the Fan, is the number one pickup for grabs in the NFL draft. And the Giants are the gift that keeps on giving. We laugh. Next on 105 Through the Fan. Every once in a while, you get a gift. You get a gift from someone very close to you that you are kind of an enemy of. And they just do something stupid. And that happened last night or yesterday afternoon. Late afternoon, early.
It really happened for the entire, you're talking about the Lakers, right?
No.
How they got a gift from something
well,
stupid.
Well, yeah, that is a gift.
No, but you're talking about another sport, I think.
Yes, I'm talking about another sport, another gift. Gifted a different way. This gift comes from Mr. Unlimited, who is now the quarterback of
the. It's got to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, right?
You would think it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's just the Steelers and the Giants are the only ones who needed quarterbacks, and the Giants already signed.
There you got Jameis.
Jameis Winston, and Pittsburgh had Russell Wilson last year. They probably worked things out, realized that they weren't going to get Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to say. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's who Russell Wilson got.
It is not the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Cowboys is coming back up Dak.
No, he's not going to come back really? Up Dak Prescott.
Pick me.
I mean, anybody but, you are a pick
Peyton,
me.
Peyton, do you have a guess?
The Giants.
No, the Giants. Wait, what?
The Giants signed Russell Wilson.
Unlimited.
They just signed Jameis Winston, though.
Yeah. To be the third string and they behind have the, Tommy Cutlets.
They have the third overall pick where they might have the opportunity to take a quarterback.
So three things happen here.
Three things.
They don't like Shador. Shador said, don't bother drafting me. Or, they're actually trying to do the dumbest thing in football, and that is win, seven games.
They want to. They are just trying to create a true quarterback competition.
Yeah.
They want to throw everything against the wall, see if it sticks. That seems like the RJ Choppy way. Find me a quarterback any way possible.
Yeah, that is. It's good. This is a wild thing to do. You have the third overall pick. You're not gonna have. You're gonna have a four person quarterback room with Tommy Cutlets being there, and Jameis and Russ, and then Shador.
I would think Tommy Cutlets is probably out.
I would think he's probably out too, but still, you don't bring Russ in. I mean, they're not drafted Shador now, right?
I wouldn't think so. But I mean, see, this is one of the things that we had talked about. Shador's not going one. That's going to be Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Or Cam Ward will be the first quarterback taken, is what it appears. Abdul Carter could still go number one, I guess, if the Titans trade the pick. But Shador was not going to be the first quarterback taken. So, all right, well, I don't think the Browns are going to take one. They could. But then you're talking about, if the Giants at three, if they don't take him, Patriots aren't. You start moving down the list, the next spot where it potentially ends up is, the Jets.
For Shador?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Shador lands in New York and it's the Jets? After all the flirting he's done with the Giants. Remember he had the Giants cleats? He played catch with Malik Nabers.
This is insanity. This is insanity, and it just shows they're just such a poorly run team. Let's just say they don't like Shador Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
They should have just said, you know what? We are going all in with Tommy DeVito, and we are going to tank for Arch Manning.
If they like Arch Manning,
you know what? It doesn't even matter at this point. It doesn't even matter. You got to get your number one. You got to get the number one quarterback. And now they know the family. I assume Eli likes the Giants still.
Tommy DeVito knows the family, too.
Tommy DeVito is the family.
Yeah, he is.
He is the family.
Or Sean Stellato is, for sure, right. His agent. Hey, what do you think Sean Stellato is going to do about this? You think there's going to be a horse head?
Buying a new fedora.
In the Mara bed?
Yeah.
For filling up the quarterback room and jeopardizing his job?
Waltz Productions, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's...
He'll never be in that picture. He'll never be in the picture.
What was the actor's name that he wouldn't put in his movie?
Johnny Fontaine.
Yeah, Johnny Fontaine. There we go. Peyton has no idea what we're talking about.
Peyton, you have no clue what we're talking about, do you?
No.
We'll ask him at 9 o'clock.
Part one. It's part one. It's all it is, part one.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
How
young is Peyton Russell? But if you're the Giants, that's what you need to be doing. You need to be just tanking for the number one pick. And there's going to be a handful of quarterbacks that are out there. If you really don't like Shador, just do that. I would say, screw it if you don't like Shador. Take him anyway. He might hit.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about just a second ago that Shador's not going to be the number one pick. It's going to be Cam Ward, in theory, potentially, depending on if the Titans bail out of there. And we get a report yesterday, Sean. We get a report yesterday, Chop, that the cost of trading up for the first pick, yesterday's price is not today's price, Chop.
No, it's not. Usually
Tennessee Titans are putting the feelers out. They're saying, look, after we saw that really impressive Cam Ward pro day, saw him throw the football a little bit, we might just take him. And so you're going to have to really convince us to come off of the spot, which that's just bluster, isn't it? No way the Titans change what they think about Cam Ward based off of a throwing session in underwear on Monday.
I wouldn't think so.
You would think that's just some sort of attempt at bravado or just, all right, let's try and develop a market where there really isn't one. Because this is not a draft, typically, I think, where you would say, I got to get up to number one. Because Cam Ward is not considered a slam dunk. Oh, that's a top type of quarterback. Even though he is the top quarterback in this class, he is not considered by most to be a
franchise changer.
If J.J. McCarthy were in this draft, he would be the number one quarterback. He would go number one. And that's a situation where J.J. McCarthy was considered like the third or fourth last year.
Yeah, I've never really subscribed to that. Like, to me, I just think we're so bad at evaluations of talent, as people, we're so bad at it that just, you know, take the guy. Like, nobody thought Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he wasn't even the top ranked quarterback in his own class.
Yeah, that was just because they...
Josh Allen.
That was because of what they didn't know. They didn't, like, what he ran at Tech, you didn't know. You still had to answer what he's capable of. You saw the talent, I think. Everybody saw what he could do. They were just like, given that he's playing that offense, you don't know what his command is of things. And then they figured out real quick, oh, okay, he can do it. It's just that he had never been asked. It's a little bit like Micah, where it's like, Micah's a great pass rusher, but you don't know it just watching his tape because you can't figure out, all right, he wasn't asked to do it, really. I think he could do it, but I don't know. I'm projecting out a little bit.
Yeah, but isn't all of the draft based on measurables and projections?
Yeah, but typically you're projecting out something that you're going to ask them to do. Like, you're going to see on tape something you're going to ask them to do at the next level. And there was Tech just ran a different kind of offense that you didn't know, all right, what kind of cerebral player is Patrick Mahomes. But I mentioned J.J. McCarthy there. I know you had a J.J. McCarthy note. He's being Mr. Humble right now. A little bit of fake humility there in Minnesota.
Yeah, he says the Vikings have not told him that he is their starter for next year. And that he actually kind of likes it.
They did tell him he's their starter for next year because they passed on Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yes, they told him.
They told him with their
without
actions.
Words. Without words. But he is the starter. This is semantics. You walked away from Rodgers. You walked away from Darnold. Is Nick Mullins still there?
I don't know. If
Josh Dobbs still there? Like, who are the backups they've rolled through over the last 48 months?
Yeah, where did Josh Dobbs...
I think he went to San Fran.
No, he signed with the Patriots.
Patriots.
He was one of the millions of people the Patriots have signed and tried to sign, including Stephon Diggs yesterday.
So, 3 for $69. How about that?
Yeah, and it's $26 million guaranteed.
So it's basically a one-year deal.
Yeah, one with maybe there's a little pain getting out of it after 1 year.
Yeah.
But it just kind of depends.
J.J. McCarthy is absolutely the starter. He knows he's the starter. He doesn't want to speak out of turn because they haven't officially announced it yet, even though they have announced it by their actions. Their words have not announced it. And he doesn't want to seem presumptuous.
He is a mature Michigan man, right?
Michigan
he learned from his time at Michigan. what the Mavericks and Rick Welts still need to learn.
Just deny.
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they do in Michigan. Deny.
You just shut your mouth. What'd you hear? That's right. You heard nothing.
Yeah. You heard nothing.
So just
you heard nothing.
Wrap that up there.
So I like JJ. I think JJ will be fine. I mean, I think they're going to have a good season. They are also probably due for a little bit of a regression as a whole.
Is that what the Pythagorean model says?
That they're going to get a regression?
Yeah.
I mean, you're 14-3. You're probably not going to be 14-3.
Let's see. What was their expected win loss? Because the first year they went 13-4. They were supposed to be 7-9 or something. Yeah. Their expected win loss was 11-6. So still a good football team.
They'll come back to the pack a little bit. They'll be a good team. The NFC North is going to be a gauntlet. Chicago's improved. Green Bay still very, very good. Detroit's got one more year left with this core before they got to start making a lot of decisions and they start losing players because of money. And then Minnesota is still a good football team. And guess who plays the NFC North?
Who? You?
Cowboys.
Yeah, that's great.
Cool.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, you should be.
Would you like to hear Micah Parsons' latest thoughts on one DeMarcus Lawrence?
Let's hear it.
All right, so this is from Pro Football Talk. Shireen Williams recapped a conversation that Clarence Hill had with Micah. We mentioned yesterday some of the stuff with Micah's contract and where he's at. I thought this is a really interesting way to describe it from Shireen. She says, Parsons no longer has to feign a camaraderie with DeMarcus Lawrence.
Oh,
and that's exactly what had happened over the last couple of years. This is what Micah Parsons told Clarence Hill of All City. He said, I thought it was my time last year trying to bring that team back in life, even though most people thought we were dead in the water. I think it's my time now. I don't got to bump heads with no other dude. I wish them guys the best, but it's kind of hard when you butt heads with another person. They think different, they feel different, and they want to be in the room different. Now it's my time to really take over. In regards to the maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more winning, I wouldn't have left. Well, Micah didn't really appreciate that. He said, I think it's ridiculous. You watch the tape. There's no question I'm locked in. I'm giving my actual best effort out there on the field, which I think that's all that matters. I have an obligation to be the leader of my family, to take care of my family, and that's to provide for them too. I keep the main thing, but I like off the field adventures too. Everyone has their selection of how they want to deal with things. Some people drink, some people smoke. I like to tweet. I like to be active and know about ball. I like to know what everyone else is doing, and that's just me. I don't drink. I don't smoke. What I care about is the effort you give me on the football field, and that's something you can't question. I know I'm one of the best players, and as long as I'm performing that way, it shouldn't matter. When you jump offside on the goal line, is that because I'm tweeting? I think it's ridiculous, outrageous.
Whoa.
I think that's actually a great reply from Micah.
Yeah.
Across the board. Yeah. I think that's a great quote. He sat there and thought about that one before he... this is how you handle it, Mavs. You go there, you think about what you want to say. But across the board, hey, I'm not drinking. I'm not smoking. I'm just tweeting. You want to compare me to other people over here? When he jumps off sides, is that because I sent out a tweet about Saquon Barkley?
The whole idea that he's on social media and that's a problem. LeBron James is on social media.
I love that. I like when somebody talks a little bit of smack like that, but does it in a way of just, hey, tell me where I'm wrong. I'll own up to what you're saying right now that I like to be on social media. I like to do other things. Yeah. But
yeah, a lot of guys are.
Show me how that's more detrimental than some of these other things and show me how that really messes you up. What are you doing?
Right, it doesn't do anything to you. Yeah, if you want to cut Micah, but you know, that's the problem. Is everybody's gonna? The problem with throwing these kind of grenades at people is everyone in the league makes mistakes.
Stones from glass houses.
Yeah, every single one of these guys has a glass house.
Yeah,
everyone's thrown an interception. Everyone's fumbled. Everyone's missed an assignment. It's not the other guy's problem. He's not the reason why. It's Sean and RJ here on 105 Through the Fan. Our Rangers insider. Take two, Jared Sandler.
Yeah, man.
Next on the Fan. Tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Tomorrow.
A&C Masterpiece is at Globe Life Field for opening day of the Major League Baseball season. We'll talk about that with Brett Boone as well today, coming up at 9:20. But our Rangers insider, Jared Sandler, is joining us now. On 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Jared. Bobby interrupted me.
I love Jared.
All right.
I love Jared, but I also love Artolos. And remember, we got to wish a happy birthday because promised somebody during a break. Kevin Persons, one of our top Tolos, one of our favorite Zoomies, Air Force vet, It is his 35th birthday, and we said we'd wish him happy birthday.
Okay,
happy birthday, Kevin. Now we can go to Jared.
Why would he have let it change his last name to People?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Right?
Jared, you got an answer for that?
Maybe he's a big fan of Chuck Person.
Oh, that's fair, man.
Dude, I loved Wesley Person.
Yeah, that's fair. Good morning, man. What's up?
What's up, guys? Are you guys going opening day?
I'm not. But I wish I was. Bobby, you got tickets for me?
What's that?
You got tickets for me?
I gave them to my dad and my wife.
Oh, man.
But, hey, Bobby, your TikTok video with your wife the other day was hilarious. I think you are a lot of us.
I think it was good though. I think it's because to me that's honestly the beautiful thing about baseball. And what's the old Billy Bean line in Moneyball? How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Something like that.
Like that's the good thing about baseball to me is that she genuinely really doesn't understand any of it. But she's not just there to like socialize. She does enjoy sitting there watching it, even though she doesn't totally understand it. Whereas generally, if you don't understand something completely, you're not even engaged in it or having fun. She has fun. She likes it. She sits there and just, this is a fun experience. I enjoy watching the sport, even if I don't totally understand what's happening.
So I guess the TikTok video was Bobby quizzing his wife on some of the most basic terms or parts of baseball. Which one that she did not get were you most surprised? Like the foul pole, the bullpen initially?
I was surprised she got anything. So that was the surprise.
Really?
When she said she knew the pitcher's mound, I was surprised. You got to remember, I asked her, I said, that coach by first base, what's his job title?
Go to second.
Like, guy. I mean, it's the first base coach.
I actually like.
There were two different times I pointed to Adrian Beltre while she was wearing an Adrian Beltre jersey and she couldn't tell me who he was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was genuinely surprised she got maybe foul pole. I thought she would have known the big yellow pole is the foul pole, but I mean, that was probably it.
Jared Sandler, Jordan.
It was entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I think your laundry's ready or whatever that beep was.
No, it is. Yeah. I didn't know if you guys could hear the beeping in the background, so I had to shut it off.
All right. Why no Evan Carter on the roster to start?
Well, he didn't have a good camp, and sometimes that matters. Sometimes that doesn't. You know, for a guy like, let's say, Corey Seager, if he doesn't have a good camp, it's not going to affect his roster status. But, obviously, it's clear that the Rangers felt like Evan Carter needed to win a job. Now, I think Evan Carter was the favorite, right? I think it was his job to lose. And I don't mean to put it any other way. I don't mean to be so blunt, but I think he lost it. It wasn't just the numbers, and the numbers weren't great. I just think it was the quality of the bat. And, if I was watching spring training and I didn't know anything about any of these guys, I didn't know who was supposed to be good, who had this level of potential, who was just kind of a guy. I don't know that I'd watch Evan Carter and say, this guy's probably going to be on the major league roster. Now, I think there's more to it. If you think about his last 3-4 years, he spent a lot of time not playing, and he's just 22 years old. I mean, that's the other thing, too. Evan Carter is younger than Wyatt Langford. Evan Carter doesn't turn 23 until the end of August. And so, and I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. Let's just say he didn't make his major league debut until 2026, which is obviously not the case. He's already been a big part of helping the team win a World Series. But let's just say he didn't make his major league debut until next year. He'd be a 23-year-old making his major league debut who would spend 95% of the season as a 23-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't think anything of it. So he's super young. But I think the real problem or the real crux of the issue is that the last several years, he's been hurt. And, he did have that amazing two-month window in 2023. But he spent a lot of time hurt. He spent a lot of critical development years, development time, on the IL. And I think the Rangers just feel like this is what's best for him long-term. This is not a team that is rebuilding. This is a team that's trying to win a division. And they feel like him getting every day at bats, trying to get confidence, trying to get right, and also had the opportunity to face lefties without the pressure of trying to deliver for a contending team in AAA is going to be really valuable for him. Now, he might be there for 3 weeks. He could be there for 2 months. He could be there for 5 days if there's an injury sometime in the first, you know, five games. My guess is Evan Carter will spend more time at the big league level than not this year, but he wasn't right. He didn't look good, and I think they feel like he needs a little more momentum or to show a little bit more before they run him back out there, especially because he missed so much time last year.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, if you think about it, he'll be a free agent at like 27. Like that's pretty young. Now, do you think the back is still a problem? Is that maybe what it is? Or because you don't usually just lose sight of the strike zone.
No, I don't. I mean, well, okay. I guess I'll say this. He is healthy enough to where, if you were to ask Bruce Bochy about Evan Carter's health, he'd say, yeah, I mean, I don't know why you're asking. You know, he's totally fine. Now, is there some lingering issue? Is the back for a guy who's 22 and has had back issues multiple times a concern? Yeah, I would say that it is fair to be concerned about the back. There is no known issue at this time. I think this really is about his performance. And let's not forget, you know, a lot of guys have good 2 month stretches at the big league level when they come up. Now, it doesn't always happen on the stage that, you know, which Evan Carter had his 2 month stretch, which was playing meaningful regular season games in September and, of course, the postseason run. But, you know, it's easy to say, well, last year's struggles were because of the back. But what if they weren't totally because of the back? Right. What if the league had made some adjustments and, the back contributed, but, you know, Evan Carter needs to grow. Evan Carter needs to adjust back. Evan Carter needs, to continue that development. And not that you can't continue to develop at the major league level, but it's tougher to develop at the major league level. You know, that there's a reason why the minor leagues exist. So, RJ, I think it's a fair question. I think until he's, you know, had a few years of health consecutively, I think we're going to always wonder about the back or the health. And, you know, he might not like being asked about it. He might not like that label, but it is what it is. Like, I heard Royce Lewis the other day, one of the young stars for the Twins, who spent, you know, the last like 5 years basically hurt more than he's healthy, not like the fact that he is considered injury prone. But like, yeah, that stinks. That's not a fun label to have, but until you aren't, you are, right? And so I think with Evan Carter, until he isn't in a position where he's, you know, constantly threading the needle between, you know, healthy and playing hurt and hurt, he is going to elicit those concerns from people, especially when he's not performing well or has a stretch like he did in spring training, which was not obviously good enough to warrant an opening day roster spot.
Jared Sandler joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. You know, we've always heard so much about the mature approach from Evan Carter and how he's like the oldest 20-year-old you're ever going to find. How much do you think the Rangers weighed potentially the angle of discouragement of sending him down psychologically, I guess, and how that might affect him versus they said, look, he's going to be able to handle this. This will be good for him. We're not worried about this, getting him dejected and getting him out of, you know, any sort of future optimism.
Yeah, I think, Bobby, if he was 25 and if he had a more normal, a more normal childhood, but a more normal development path to the big leagues, then I think they probably would have said, hey, let's see how he handles this. But he really didn't. Like if you think about it, when a guy gets hurt when they're in the minor leagues, you think of it as like their escalator to the big leagues is put on pause as well, because they're not, you know, when they're hurt, they're not developing. They're not, in theory, getting better. Well, Evan Carter had this weird combination of, a lack of time active because of injuries, but a lot of success and potential demonstrated in that short period of time. So it was almost as if that escalator never stopped going up. Even when he was hurt, it was still going up, and it was still pushing him closer and closer to that floor, that fourth or fifth floor where it's big league baseball. And so, you know, he didn't have anywhere close to, you know, what you would consider something of a normal amount of at-bats or games or however you want to measure it in upper-level minor leagues, which, you know, that's considered to be Double-A and Triple-A, and that's where, you know, you really have got to pass those tests in order to be considered ready for the big leagues. And the other thing too, Bobby, is I think, you know, yeah, they definitely weighed that. They also probably weighed that against, well, what if he starts the season in April and then we have to send him down because he really struggles. And I think that, you know, in their mind, having him start the season in AAA is better than the potential of him continuing to struggle at the big league level and then being sent down in the middle of the year. Rather him start the season in AAA, have success, hopefully, earn his way back soon, hopefully, and then you don't have to worry about sending him down, hopefully ever again, right? Hopefully this is his last stretch in the minors. But I think that I think they did weigh those things. And then, you know, there's going to be a section of people that say, it doesn't matter when you send him down, whether it's on opening day, whether it's in June because he's struggling. If he can't handle it, then he's probably not fit to handle the challenges mentally of a major league career over a long haul anyway. So, you know, you have different schools of thought on this, but I do think that they considered the impact and how it could hinder him long term and felt like this was the best option.
Jared, am I crazy to think that because the injuries to New York and the losses by Houston and Baltimore and the fact that Cleveland and Seattle can't hit, that this is the best team in the AL?
I don't think you're crazy to think that. I'd say this. The American League is way different than the National League. You know, I think the National League, if the Braves, the Phillies, the Mets, the Dodgers were in the American League, they would each be considered the best team in the American League. That's not to say that they're all better. As a matter of fact, I think that maybe two of those NL East teams, you know, I think that the Braves are really lacking depth, and I think the Phillies are just getting old. I actually think the Rangers are better than those two teams, but I think that perception would be that those two teams are better. I think perception would obviously be that the Dodgers would be the best team in the AL. And I think that the Mets with their moves would be perceived as the best team in the AL as well. I think the AL is wide open. I would tell you, RJ, the Mariners, I actually think they're going to hit a little bit better than what people believe. But I also don't know if they're going to pitch as well, in part because you just don't typically have consecutive years with like almost perfect health from your starting rotation. And they're already feeling that with George Kirby, who's going to start the season on the IL. So, I do think the Rangers – if you told me the Rangers ended up with the best record in the American League, I would not think twice about it. I think that this absolutely could be a team like that. And if Jacob deGrom stays healthy, and by the way, guys, I had a heart-pounding moment. After the first inning yesterday, the Rangers had Nolan Hoffman throwing in the bullpen. Now, it was the last spring training game, and so it was very possible that Nolan Hoffman was warming up just to get some work in. But they put it on the video board, like warming up Nolan Hoffman. I was like, oh my gosh, here we go again, Jacob deGrom. What's going on? And then he jogged out for the second inning. I was like, oh, thank gosh, he's fine. And we're probably going to have that with Jacob deGrom. You know, when he comes out of the game, I think, you know, we're going to, for the first month, just kind of, okay, is he okay? Is everything fine? Was he just taken out for this reason or that reason? Is he healthy? But I think having a healthy version of Jacob deGrom for a full year is going to be huge. And I just think, guys, I look at this lineup, and like if Jake Berger is hitting seventh or eighth, you've got a guy who could hit 30 home runs hitting seventh or eighth. And that's like a real possibility with, you know, how deep their lineup is. And I actually think their bullpen is going to be better than expected. I just think it might take a few weeks to figure out who fits best where. But I do think that there's enough depth in this bullpen, and also there's enough depth of guys who are going to start the season in Double A or Triple A, who at some point could come up and help the Rangers in the bullpen this year, that they're going to be in a good position with their bullpen. They just don't have the superstar, like, sure thing reliever. They traded that guy away several years ago in Emmanuel Clase, but they might have that guy in their minor league system right now in Emiliano Teodo, who could come up at some point this year and take the reins on the ninth inning. Until then, I kind of think it's Luke Jackson's job to lose.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. Have a great open day tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, fellas. See you guys later.
Jared Sandler.
Love you, Jared.
Joining us here, DN Losing Hotline, 105.3 The Fan. It appears you actually hate Cinderella. We'll chop it up. We got a Rangers ticket giveaway. It's all coming up in the 7 o'clock hour on the Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan.